This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And it's a pleasure to be coming your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time and streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We archive the radio shows at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Makes sense. And we are available to hear from you. I would love to hear from you in regards to any ideas you might have for possible guests or ideas for guests that we might look up. Send me an email. richard@richarddugan.com is my email address, and we would love to hear from you as well. We are also making a few little adjustments and tweaking and fine-tuning of the radio program. Come the first of the year, we're going to be incorporating some new features, or a new feature, in addition to the regular feature when we are doing a live broadcast with Beth McDonald, who will be joining us later in the program, to share with us what's going on astronomically and astrologically and kind of keep us all, well, focused and centered and breathing. That would be real important, even on a day like today where the rain is just coming down, and it's coming down. Matter of fact, I spent the afternoon, well, not the afternoon, the morning, late morning, early afternoon, repairing the tarp covering over our dog run because the dogs need to have covering out there. Actually, it was more enjoyable than I expected it to be. It wasn't that cold. I guess somebody referred to the storms that we're getting through next Thursday or Friday as part of what they call the Pineapple Express. I think it's referring to the fact that we're getting warmer storm flow from the tropics, if you will. Not so much flowing up from Mexico as much as coming in from the Pacific, but more southerly, if you will. Anyway, I was out there, and I was taking down the old material and restringing the new material, and it reminded me of some wonderful times. When I was connected with three gentlemen who we would get together and we would hike. We started meeting together as part of a men's group, and then we would hike. And one particular hike in Arizona, just west of Phoenix, in I believe what they call the White Tank Mountains, and the rain was just coming down, but we said, we're going to go anyway. And we hiked up to the top of this waterfall, and we crossed this creek that was, at the time, ankle to shin high. And we climb up the rocks and into the fog and up to the top of the waterfall, and we walked around up there, and it was just absolutely incredible. And then we came back down, and we crossed that same creek, was now thigh high. Needless to say, we were soaked to the skin, but we had the most incredible time. So I'm out there working today, remembering the incredible times we used to hike in the Superstitions. I remember after a rain, we went hiking, and we created a fire under these rocks, with some rocks, not realizing that the rocks we were using around the fireplace had little crevices in them that had water in them. And when the water heated up, guess what happened to the rocks? They exploded. Nobody was hurt, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It was more like they popped and cracked open, but nonetheless, it was a surprise to us. But those were some wonderful times, and we were out in nature. We were out in the wilderness. We were out sharing sort of from our souls, as guys will do with guys in those kinds of situations. And that's kind of what we do with this program as well, only on a broader perspective. Sharing our perspectives and our ideas as to the various topics that we talk about. Now, last week, we started a series of programs talking about Transforming Through 2012, the book, the media presentation that's available at transformingthrough2012.com. And last week, we had the producer on the program to talk about this rather interesting compendium, multimedia as well as the book. And Deborah Giusti was our guest. And today, we have in studio with us one of the contributors to the book, and her name is Kimberly Ruff. And Kimberly, I want to thank you so much for joining us and coming in to share your story and your perspectives on 2012. Thank you. And coming in from the rain.
Well, I live in town. It wasn't that big of a deal.
The subject of 2012 for some people is unnerving, and as we are fast approaching December 21st of 2010, we have both the solstice, the winter solstice. We also have a lunar eclipse, which we're going to talk about with Beth McDonald a little later on in the program. So even this year has some significance on that specific date. But you are coming from a little different perspective than the Mayan calendar and all of the prophecies from the Mayans. You have the traditions that you're drawing from are of both the Hopi Indians and the Tibetans.
Yes.
I would like to know, first of all, how you became involved with this whole 2012 genre, I'll put it.
Great.
How did that grab you in such a way that you were asked to contribute to this work?
Well, it's a great question. The short version is I did not go looking for it. I didn't have any interest in this. They came and found me, which was such an adventure. In 2001, Tibetan lamas came to this town looking for my son, many Tibetans from different groups, telling me that he was a reincarnation of a Tibetan lama and that since 1959, the Tibetan tulkus were being born here. Well, at the time, I knew nothing about Tibet. I thought it was a city in China, which, of course, is what China would like you to think. I knew nothing. I did not go looking for this. They came here, many of them, from India, from Mongolia, et cetera, et cetera. And then that started in August of 2001, September of 2001, on and on. In December of 2001, we were asked to go see a very specific lama named Venerable Bhaka Tuku Rinpoche and bring my son to see if he could be what they call recognized. Because mm-hmm. he's part Cherokee like myself, but he looks like a little blonde kid.
Mm-hmm.
So Venerable Bhaka Tuku Rinpoche, they recognize each other instantly. He says, "Are you a tuku? Come tell your mom what your name is." And the two of them just went and chatted away. So that's how the Tibet part happened. The very next month, a woman came to me from Hopi saying, "When the Tibetans came to you, did they give you a rock with ancient writing?" I said, "Well, actually, yes. Bhaka Tuku Rinpoche gave me this rock with ancient writing." She said, "We believe that you have this rock that is in the Hopi prophecy and that perhaps your son is the human link between these two cultures." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." At the time, I had never even left my children. I have two sons. I know what was going on. And it turned out they had been to a vision quest with Chief Lame Deer, who's since passed away, and they had done a vision quest to find the woman who had this son, because it's all like prophesized. And long story short, they tracked me down. And so I went with this woman and brought the rock to the Hopi Nation. And that was when I met Grandfather Martin Goshua Sioma. And all I can tell you is I recognized him from dreams I'd had all my life. And he and his wife, Mina, who since passed away, were waiting for us. It was like something out of a movie. Mm. It was just amazing. I then found out that the Hopi have a very, very, very old prophecy that takes 8 to 9 days to tell, but it begins when the Iron Eagle flies and the horses have wheels, and then it goes on and says many things, but it talks about, these men with red capes and red hats will come and bring this missing part of the Hopi prophecy and the tablets. The Tibetans have an identical mirror prophecy from Padmasambhava, the second Buddha in 8th century, that says, "When the Iron Eagle flies and the horses run on wheels, the Tibetans will lose their land and travel to the land of the red man to teach the Dharma." So it's an identical prophecy. And in 1959, the Tibetans did lose their land and travel to the West. And there are people that call Santa Barbara Tibet West, because there's a lot of Tibet activity here. It's really, really, really amazing. Just for the record, I want to go on the record saying the Hopi prophecy has this famous Hopi prophecy rock. And then there's this other little rock. And then there's the legend of the missing part of the tablet of the Hopi prophecy rock, the broken off part. People have asked me, "Do you believe that this rock is the little missing piece of the tablet?" I always tell them no, because it doesn't look like it. Mm-hmm. I believe that symbolically, yes, because what the rock said that they gave me, it was in Sanskrit, and it said, Om Mani Padme Hum, which very loosely translated in Tibetan means compassion. Somehow, in those six syllables, all of the 84,000 works of the Buddha somehow are in this. And there is much trouble and chaos in Hopi right now. Mm-hmm. And so compassion, I believe with all my heart, is what's missing.
Okay, we're going to come back to that. I want to ask you to go back further. What were you doing before the Tibetans came to you? I mean, you were, what, living your life, doing your thing up until August or September of 2001? And then all of a sudden they show up. But what was it that brought you to that point? What were you doing?
Well, I have been a licensed psychotherapist, MFT, in Santa Barbara since 1986. I was married. My son was four. My other son was like eight. I was just kind of living my life. It's crazy, wacky things that sort of happened throughout my entire life. And crazy, wacky things that happened with this baby since he was born, even actually when I was pregnant with him. So I knew that there was something very unusual about this child, but I had no idea anything about Tibet. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about the Hopi. I didn't know where the Hopi even lived. When my friend, who's now my friend, said, let's go to Hopi and bring this rock, it's like, where? And it turns out it's inside the Navajo Reservation in Arizona. I mean, I was terrified. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't leave my kids. I mean, so I was just kind of living my life. But the thing I will tell you that is extremely interesting is I'd had some foreshadowing, but I'd run away from it. This vision quest they'd had with Chief Lame Deer in 1987. It was the year they had the full moon and the summer solstice on the same night. My sister's visiting, who's also Cherokee like myself, and my Chumash friend Brenda, and we went to Point Concepcion to go to this sweat lodge that Chief Fire Lame Deer was giving, and it just terrified me. I literally went running out of this, teepee.
Yeah.
And went running away, and Chief Lame Deer is a 6'4", huge guy, went running after me, and his son finished the sweat, and he said, what are you running from? You cannot run from this destiny forever. I know he's talking about, but I just wanted him to leave me alone. Mm-hmm. This was the native man who then said, you know, in 2001, this is the woman. And back then, I wasn't even married. I didn't have any children. So I knew there was something. I was just afraid of it. But I'm not so much afraid of it anymore, because since that happened, I have been studying Tibetan Buddhism. There's a sangha in town, the Virasana Foundation, where I study. I've taken vows to, I've taken bodhisattva vows. I mean, I've gotten extremely into it. I've since studied with the Hopi. I go back a couple of times a year and study with the Hopi. Now I am thrilled to have such a privilege and an honor to bring this message, because it's the same as the Mayan calendar and the Cherokee calendar and all these calendars that say they wrap up then, in that, from what I understand, they don't actually say the world's going to end. They say a chapter is going to end, but another chapter is beginning. That is why Deborah made this book, was to present the hopeful version, because what I have been told of this Hopi Tibetan prophecy, and I want to clarify, it's not the Hopi prophecy, only a pure Hopi should tell that story. And it's not the Tibetan prophecy, only a highly realized lineage master should tell this. I am just the messenger of the Hopi Tibetan prophecy, which is where these two connect because of my son. But the Hopi Tibetan prophecy says December 22nd, 2012, begins the time of never-ending peace. So it's a, you know, it's a wonderful thing. So all of this that's going on now is just preparation. I have since been taught the 8-9 day prophecy. And the Hopi prophecy rock, if you've ever seen it, there's two paths. There's the path of the one heart, which leads to great peace. Excuse me. And then there's the path of the two heart, which leads to nuclear war. Mm-hmm. As recently as 1998, Grandfather Thomas Bianco, who discovered the Prophecy Rock, said, I don't know how this is going to end. But in the last few years, I have been assured by all of these elders that we've pulled it off, mm-hmm. that we have entered the fifth world, that we have gotten to the path of the one heart, and that all we have to do now is hold the energy and sort of ride this wave in, that it's already happened.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what the elders tell me. Yeah.
And holding the energy is not necessarily an easy thing to do.
No, not at all.
When you have all kinds of other things that are going on. If you've just joined us, this is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Kimberly Ruff is my guest, and she is a, you said you were a licensed psychotherapist.
Yep.
Okay. Be interested to hear your diagnosis after the program. we're here talking about 2012. We're here talking about transforming through 2012, the book, the media presentation that's available at the website, transformingthrough2012.com. And, of course, the producer was my guest last week, and Deborah Giusti, rather interesting as she shared with us how all of these people came together. And obviously she sought you out.
Yeah, she did.
Why did she seek you out as opposed to going to, say, the Hopis or the Tibetan monks who would have the story from direct from themselves rather than you, who is neither Tibetan nor Hopi by mm-hmm. ancestry, mm-hmm. but who, as you said, you're here to bring the message where the two come together.
Sure. Well, first of all, you'd have to ask Deborah. I'm just going to take a guess. But second, I had met a friend of Deborah's named Sean Ahern at the first International Sundance, which was held in Lakota land in 2007. And that was where I met Sean, and he and Deborah are close. And so she had heard about the work I was doing because she could go to a Hopi and ask a Hopi. But the truth is, every village has a different version. There are three mesas in 12 villages, and which one would she ask mm-hmm. without angering another village? Very, very interesting.
Okay.
And as far as the Tibetans, they have many prophecies. This one's not that important to them, at least from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Hopi have this one really long prophecy, and the man that taught me the Tibetan prophecy, Venerable Lama Lonang Rinpoche, he specializes in knowing the Tibetan prophecies. He says, I know lots of prophecies. This is just one of them. So, my job is to bring this message of 2012 because the Tibetans I've talked to, they don't really care about 2012. They're looking so much greater. They believe that we are in what they call the degenerate times. It's such a neat kind of point of view. I can't even explain this to do it justice. They're not worried about it. It's just not where they're at.
You know, what flashed in my mind was my drive from the front door of the cottage where my wife and I live up on the hill to the top of the hill where it connects with the highway to come down. The reason why that came to mind was because of all this rain.
Yeah.
There's been some road work that's been going on our property where they've been putting some dirt in and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my wife is very concerned about me getting in the car.
Driving up and down.
And driving down this, not so much the 154, as much as it is just the road from the front door
mm-hmm.
up to the top of the hill, say, where the garbage cans or the mailboxes are,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Because it's all wet and it's sloshy and this and that and the other thing. So I said, okay, well, I'll take it slow. Threw the thing in the first, and I didn't even put my foot on the accelerator. The car just moved forward very slowly, and I came, and what was real interesting was that at the end of the road at the curve, somebody had parked a car that wasn't there this morning.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, okay, if I slide, I could slide, so I better just, you know. And I got up to the top of the hill without any incident, without any swerving or sliding and so forth. The reason why that's important in terms of what you said, the mm-hmm. degenerative times?
The Hopi call this the time of purification.
Okay.
The Tibetans call it the degenerate times.
Degenerate times.
Yep.
I would say that the best thing for us to do who mm-hmm. are aware of these things
mm-hmm.
is to go slow.
Yes.
Just, put it in first and let the universal energy move us forward. Because if we put any pressure on that accelerator, we're going to slide all over the place.
Yes.
And we're going to create more wonderful drama for ourselves.
Oh, yes. Oh, the Tibetans would totally agree with that. I really am not the person who should even be talking about this in depth. But very much. They talk about achieving this state of emptiness, that this is the place to go. And I didn't even know what emptiness meant for the longest time. It's a place of non-attachment. I finally understood what they were talking about.
Why didn't they just say that?
I know. It's like a language thing. I would ask people, what does emptiness mean? Oh, you must ask a realized, you know, Lama that question. But the really realized ones, I couldn't understand their accent. So it went on for years. But I finally got that it's coming from a place of non-attachment.
That's
and like
funny.
When people ask me about my son, you know, how does he feel about all this? He doesn't care. He really doesn't.
Now, does he not care in that he wants nothing to do with it?
No.
Or he doesn't care in that,
he's
hey,
not worried.
this is who I am, and this is just what I do.
Exactly.
It's not that big of a deal.
And it will
to
be
me.
Fine. Yes.
This is just my life.
He is what they call a bodhisattva. Have you ever heard about this term, bodhisattva?
I've heard the term.
Well, of course, there's a Steely Dan song, but that's different.
Well, no, this is, I've heard the term elsewhere, yes. Uh-huh.
But in Tibetan Buddhism, it is a being who has actually achieved enlightenment and has been able to release himself from the cycle of samsara, meaning being born over and over. But they make a vow to come back over and over as many times as it takes for all beings to be released, for all beings, all sentient beings to reach enlightenment. So my son is a true bodhisattva, so kind of like he's in this for the long haul. And
does he understand? I know you said he doesn't care, and we've defined that.
Uh-huh.
Does he understand
his job?
His role?
Oh, yeah, very much.
Okay.
It's just he's so Tibetan from so many lives that they are amazing people. Like the highly realized yogis, they can do things.
Yeah.
But they're not really allowed to talk about it. To the degree that they talk about it is to the degree that they lose their gifts. I mean, they can levitate, they can read minds, they can put their hands through rocks. And it is the ego grasping, the ego clinging, which will dilute this.
Yes, that's what I was just thinking. If you advertise, you have nothing to advertise.
It's true. It just drains
right
away.
Out. Yeah.
And so this amazing child is very much full of the compassion, and he's happy, and I've never, ever heard him badmouth anyone. Mm. He brings goodness wherever he goes. He sort of elevates things. And he really is a true bodhisattva in that he's here to do his job. But he's a Western little kid.
Yeah.
He's doing a play right now up at this church, Christian church. He was they just had a basketball tournament. He did a trapeze.
I mean, he's still a kid.
Oh, yeah, making straight A's. I mean, he is just a little Western little boy. And yet, it's so funny to hear him talk. Like, we went to Gersh Park to see the 4th of July fireworks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And everyone stands up and puts their hand over their heart and does the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. And our other son was so cute. He's like, you know, he's very indigo, the older one.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not going to be told what to do. You know, I don't even know what this means. I'm not going to take a pledge. I don't know what it means. And then the little one says, you know, I find that it's respectful to honor other people's traditions when visiting their lands. So he's like, he's just visiting here.
That's fun.
And having a great time.
Well, so are we here with you, Kimberly, and we're going to continue our discussion here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know that chronic stress can lead to premature aging? Are you looking for safe, natural, non-invasive ways to regain youthful vitality?
Now you can experience fast relief without drugs or invasive procedures. Hi, I'm Deepak Chari.
And I'm Dr. Rupa Chari. Welcome to the Chari Center of Health.
At the Chari Center here in Santa Barbara, we offer the most advanced non-invasive technologies for accelerated stress and pain relief.
Our services are affordable and physician supervised.
Experience leading-edge mind-body technologies to accelerate the release of stress and pain. You can now restore your natural state of health and regain your youthful vitality faster than you ever believed was possible.
At the Chari Center of Health, we take the time to listen to your specific needs.
Go to our website at charicenter.com. That's CHARICenter.com.
Call now for a limited time introductory discount.
Call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111. Call now.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close. Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the first thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
And we are understanding here. We're doing our utmost to understand this date in history coming up. Not only 2012, December 21st. That'd be, let's see, 122112. Okay, now we figured that out. We're now talking about 12210, December 21st, 2012. And actually, Beth McDonald, I was reading here where the eclipse actually starts in the evening of the 20th and goes into the morning of the 21st. Or is that at Greenwich Mean Time? I'm wondering.
Well, this is where this whole thing gets very, very fascinating. It depends on who your guru is.
Ah.
You know, I have three different ephemeris. By three different people, and one of them said till 12:13 a.m. Another was 12:17. Another one was 12:18. So it really depends on who you personally feel to be more accurate. Just know that in the wee hours of the morning, if we can see it, there will be stuff going on it's not raining.
Exactly.
Right, right. I was so excited about this one because the total eclipses are so much more dramatic usually.
Yes.
And then when this, you know, 4 or 5 day rainstorm came in, I just thought, well, I'll just have to be comfortable knowing it's there.
Well, there was one back in, I think, either 2002 or 2003. And we were living in Phoenix at the time. Beautiful clear skies.
Yeah.
We set up a telescope out on the carport, and our neighbors came over, and we all took turns looking in the telescope as it progressed. And it was just incredible. It was magnificent to watch. I mean, what's the big deal? You're watching the shadow of the Earth cover the moon. Big deal. You saw things on the lunar surface. And you could still see the moon even after the shadow was completely covering the moon. You could see some detail, but you could still see that the moon was there. It was going to do it whether we were watching or not, granted.
Right.
But
right.
Nonetheless, it was quite spectacular. I can only imagine what that must look like from the moon's perspective. Now you're getting a solar eclipse from the moon. That would look pretty cool. I'm wondering why they didn't do moon landings around those times. I have a feeling that there might have been some interference because of the radiation, the way that, because we have the same thing. We'll have a solar eclipse. The moon goes between us and the sun. And they always tell you, first of all, don't look at the eclipse directly. But they also say that it's going to interfere with satellite communications for a brief time. So right. Very interesting. Let's talk a little bit as we jump forward. And we have an interesting thing going on. Obviously, you've mentioned it, the rain. I've mentioned it this week. This is sort of the midpoint. The rain started on late Thursday night, Friday morning. And it's supposed to go through about Thursday of this coming week, which is right about midpoint of this Mercury retrograde period for us.
Yes, and it's midwinter. It's the solstice and the eclipse, and I just think it's a fabulous, fascinating time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good time, especially in the next couple of days. You know, the moon moves into Gemini tonight, which is all about communication. And so, and, you know, it is the sign that is ruled by, that rules the Mercury retrograde. And so it's a very profound time for positive communication with, and this is the time, you know, this is really the time, you know.
Yeah.
For those of you who are wrapping, who are finishing up your Christmas cards, now's a good time to do it.
Oh, I guess I better go out and buy them.
Yeah, who phone them in. Yeah, we tend to phone them in. And so, you know, this weekend, especially with the rain, it's a really good time to make contact with those that you love and share the goodness and the joy and the positivity of your lives and each other and your soul's connections.
Now, there are a lot of ancient traditions that speak of these eclipses, for example,
yes.
Going back to that,
yes.
That will either they will lay out prophecies of doom and gloom, or as you have done, they will say, and this is a time of whatever it might be, that we are getting the shadow is going over, and maybe it's a crossing of the veil or something of this nature.
Right. And that's one of my most favorite aspects of this topic. And briefly, I think many authors say that the reason the ancients saw the eclipses as strictly negative were because many of them wouldn't see them in their lifetimes. You know, without, given that they're not visible everywhere,
mm-hmm.
every time,
yeah.
And given that the lifespan of many humans was very short for a long, long time, many people would go through a whole lifetime without seeing any eclipses, or would only see one.
Mm-hmm.
So it came to be attributed to be something very dire. And what we now notice, people who study astrology, is, you know, they happen in pairs of two at least twice a year. Sometimes there are three twice a year, but it's, you know, they happen fairly regularly, and
right.
it's not necessarily a time when bad things happen as much as it is a time when our consciousness is raised and things are revealed.
Yeah.
And often, for a lot of us, you know, no news being good news, like the raising the consciousness sometimes is a very painful process, and so therefore for a lot of us it can be negative. Oftentimes people find out about betrayals, or like right now in our government, we're really finding out how dysfunctional the Senate is. Who knew?
Wait a minute. I've known that for 30 years.
Well, you are an old soul, Richard. And you're not a Gemini.
Ah, okay. By the way, so I'm going to say, I'm going to take my analogy from earlier in the program, and
yes.
I'm going to say, if you find yourself sliding around on the roadway of life between now and the 29th, throw it into first, take your foot off the accelerator, and let the universal energy move you forward.
And keep breathing.
That's the real key. Keep breathing. Beth, thanks so much. They can reach you at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. And we're going to talk to you again on the 8th of January. Going to give you Christmas and New Year's Day off, but we will
rock.
Be here. And and we will talk to you on January the 8th.
Excellent. Thank you, Richard.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stress can lead to premature aging. Are you looking for safe, natural, non-invasive ways to regain youthful vitality?
Now you can experience fast relief without drugs or invasive procedures. Hi, I'm Deepak Chari.
And I'm Dr. Rupa Chari. Welcome to the Chari Center of Health.
At the Chari Center here in Santa Barbara, we offer the most advanced non-invasive technologies for accelerated stress and pain relief.
Our services are affordable and physician-supervised.
Experience leading-edge mind-body technologies to accelerate the release of stress and pain. You can now restore your natural state of health and regain your youthful vitality faster than you ever believed was possible.
At the Chari Center of Health, we take the time to listen to your specific needs.
Go to our website at charicenter.com. That's charicenter.com.
Call now for a limited time introductory discount.
Call 805-963-1111. That's 805-963-1111. Call now.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Story, new paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, your host in studio with Kimberly Ruff, and she is a licensed and certified psychotherapist.
Yep.
Why did you get into psychotherapy? What is it about psychotherapy that intrigues you so?
Oh, it's the only thing I could do.
No, come on.
It's true. I was a music major. I didn't have any talent. I did a bunch of other things, and then I studied psychology, and I was like, oh, this is what I was born to do. I understood it, and I've been studying it since I was 16. I'm 52. I'm endlessly fascinated. It's a wonderful job, truly. I have a real sense of how to do this, and really, I can't cook. I can't do my own taxes. I'm serious. This is how come I'm doing this.
And how long have you been practicing?
Well, since 1978, when I was 20, but I've been licensed since 1986. Same office over in De La Vina Street since 1986. Same couch. Yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Wow. And so you are basically talking with people who are possibly lying on the couch, pouring out their soul, if you will, as to whatever deep-seated concern is going on in their lives that is not allowing them to move forward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great job. It's nice to feel like every hour you're doing something helpful. You're not like working at a plastic packaging plant and wondering if you're polluting the earth. I mean, there's few things you know that you go home at the end of the day, you've done, you know, something really wonderful.
How has it changed even in the last 10 years for you?
Oh, my goodness. I was traditionally psychoanalytically trained, and then with all these things that happened into my life, I began studying shamanism and Tibetan Buddhism and all of these different kinds of things, and it's changed my work radically. I studied with Dr. Marshall Rosenberg in doing that whole nonviolent communication, but since working with the Tibetans and the Hopi, I've integrated very much this into my work, and I studied with the Aborigines, and so I do a lot of work with dreams. Work very much in the dream time, which you're allowed to in psychotherapy if you say that you're doing Jungian work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually gotten more interesting in the last 10 years.
Okay.
It's quite wonderful.
Have you noticed the people coming to you are dealing with more than, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, very much.
Do you find people that are coming to you that are feeling the greater trauma, drama,
oh, yes,
and stress in their lives than ever before?
Yes, it has totally been accelerating, just as the prophecy said.
Okay.
That it's not even just the economy and global warming. It's that they can feel this density increasing, and especially the sensitive ones. And according to these prophecies, it will get more and more dense until December 21st, 2012. And then according to all these different prophecies, it begins to reverse itself. So I try to tell people, just hang on. We're not even over the intensity of this.
We're not even over the hump yet. We're getting close to it.
And then it's just going to get better. So just hang on. We just have like 2 years more.
Yeah. I remember hearing it said that there will be those who will not take that journey.
Like about a third are going to choose to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, very much. It's just too much.
We're not talking about natural disasters and calamities. Yeah. We're talking about people who will
just check out.
Choose to check out, and
it's
they'll use their
hard.
Own methods and means to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they say we all signed up to come to this point in history together. Every person on Earth.
See, that's what I can't understand. If that's true, then is it also true that those individuals who, that one-third you talk about, signed up to check out?
I think that when they were on the other side and they agreed to this, they had no idea how hard it was going to be. That's what I really think. I think they got here and thought, whoa, this is harder than I planned.
This is not what I signed
right.
up for.
I'm out. And the ones that are hanging in there and doing the work like you and me and whatever, you know, this is not an easy thing that we're.
But even there's, off. But there's even there's not even a guarantee for you and I. I mean, we only have 2 years to go. We seem like we're handling it pretty well, you and I. We're coherent. We seem to be fairly stable.
Yeah, I think we're going to make it.
I hope so.
I suspect you'll be fine.
all I know is I'm looking for the downhill slide.
It's
and I'm
just
hoping it's
the
a
corner.
Snowy. I'm hoping it's a snowy slope.
Yes,
that
that's
will be
what
fun.
I hear.
Well, you know, getting back to this process that again, you seem to have managed to integrate into the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You also have some information regarding, and I don't even know anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
A cave.
Oh yes, I very much want to speak about this. On 080808, Grandfather Martin Gashri Sioma asked me to begin writing. I have no history, no training in writing, but I promised him I would. I didn't know how it would happen. There's the famous prophecy rock that you see on the internet, but the second prophecy rock is actually an instrument, is actually a satellite. He said, you will find a way to talk about this on the internet, that the internet is the second prophecy rock. So anyway, I through a dream, I met this woman named Valerie Donner, who has this www.thegroundcrew.net website. So I've written 20 postings, but the most recent one is about the lost cave of the dead in the Grand Canyon. You can Google it. Grandfather Martin asked me to find the city of tunnels. I didn't know what he was talking about. To be honest, I thought it was a little wacky.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out it's real. This summer, I've been meeting all these amazing people, you know, through all of this. And a friend of mine, Gary David, who's written this book called The Orion Zone, that if mm-hmm. you're into astrology and astronomy, you'll love this. He talks about all of this amazing stuff. He has a friend named Jack Andrews, who was given the responsibility of continuing the work from this lost cave of the dead of the Grand Canyon. In 1909, a man named G.E. Kincaid was given money from the Smithsonian Institute to go on this expedition, and he discovered in the Grand Canyon this lost city that had been abandoned. And it had mummies and all kinds of things that people thought were probably, you know, the Anasazi ruins, because the Hopi prophecies talk about that the Sipapu is in the Grand Canyon. So that kind of wasn't that surprising. What was very surprising was what else they found in this canyon that's in the Arizona Gazette, in, you know, the 1909 version. They found a statue of a Buddha.
Wow.
Yes. That's where I come in.
Down in the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
In a cave, under the Colorado River. This is amazing.
Wow.
Google it. It's all there. Well, anyway, there is a legend that says when this time comes, which is now, a woman of mixed heritage will appear and be able to explain about this Buddha. This woman of mixed heritage will be someone who is somehow connected with the Hopi prophecy. That's the legend that the Kincaid people told Jack Andrews, who then found me. They believe that person is me. What's crazy is I do know what the Buddha is doing there. Since I've spent the last 10 years now studying the Tibetans, I even know which Buddha it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Buddha Vairocana. And it's an amazing thing, because the legend says the woman will know why the Buddha statue is there. Like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe I understand that too. The Hopi Tibetan prophecy, in the Hopi prophecy, they talk about the access twins, the North and the South Pole, that there is, you know, a Tibetan and a Hopi that will literally hold the world in balance, and then the axis will shift to 15 degrees before it stops. I have been told that Venerable Bhagatukha Rinpoche, that Lama that recognized my son, and Grandfather Martin Gostry Sioma are the access twins, the echo twins of Hopi prophecy. Bhagatukha Rinpoche is the reincarnation of Vairocana. That's why his institute is called the Vairocana Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Padmasambhava was the second Buddha who said, when the iron eagle flies and the horses have wheels, he had these disciples. Vairocana was one of the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
I found this out, went to Grandfather Martin this August to my son, because I was asked to go there with my son and bring a Tibetan artifact to consecrate the Buddha statue. So we went. And it was an amazing trip. And so I went to see Grandfather Martin. I brought him this book. He was so happy. And I told him, we found the city of the tunnels. And I brought him a map that Jack Andrews gave for me. It's very hidden. It takes 5 days to find. Hike down a sheer 15-foot wall. And the government's taking it over, like Area 51. I personally believe the place was cleaned out 100 years ago.
Mm.
I don't think that it's physically even there. I think it's in a warehouse, just like in the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies. It doesn't matter. It's symbolic. And so we were asked to bring a double dorje to consecrate this Buddha statue. So what was the purpose of all this is the same thing like what the purpose of the rock was. This Buddha statue, you know, what was found with it was this Om Mani Padme Hum, which is always at their statues, which means compassion.
Right.
So that is the point. The way to survive all of this, what's going on at Hopi and subsequently the world, is compassion.
Yeah.
So that is why it is to be found now. So I write about it on this website. So it's just been an amazing thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, I met with Bhagatukha Rinpoche. He came to Santa Barbara. And I didn't know what to say. So Bhagatukha, we found the cave. And I have been told it's Vairocana. I didn't know what to say. And he was very pleased. He said, you found the tunnels.
Mm.
Very good. That's how these Tibetans are.
Yeah.
They know all of this, but they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
They're just sort of here helping us.
Yeah.
And hopefully we figure it out, and hopefully we make it to the path of the one heart. But they're not even attached to the outcome. They have this whole non-dual sort of way of looking at things, and it's about non-attachment. So whether we found the cave, whether we didn't, whether the planet blew up, whether it didn't, they're not really attached to it.
Yeah.
But yet, he smiled when I told him we found it.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful moment.
Yeah. Well, something else that is tying into the final thing we'll talk about here on the program It has been shared with me that there are different groups around the planet over the centuries who, and in many instances, they're cloistered, monks of all different faiths, who spend their days and their nights doing nothing more than praying.
Oh, this is true.
And what they're doing, in essence, is they're sort of, if you will, holding the world together through prayer.
Anchoring it.
If they stopped, the earth would explode. And that's metaphorically speaking,
yes,
mind you.
Yes, yes.
There is something that's happening within the Hopi tribe.
Yes.
In Arizona, or is it just in general?
The Hopi Nation is at risk right
okay.
now.
That's what they do. They are part of that collective anchoring.
Yes.
And their anchoring is being jeopardized. Tell us about that.
Oh, being threatened hugely. That's why I'm so happy to be here today. First of all, I have been told that we have entered into the fifth world and that the Hopi Tibetan prophecy, the point of it has been brought to the world that we will make it.
Mm-hmm.
That what happens at Hopi right now will not be the end of the world. It will just really, really suck right. if this happens. It will be like exactly what happened in Tibet, that the civilization will be destroyed. So what is happening is there is an election that is about to happen that I won't go into all the details. Read on the internet. But all I can tell you is there is an election that they are trying to sort of sneak through that will – there's this new Hopi Tribal Council, and they're trying to dissolve the Constitution that will be the end of their civilization.
Now, this is the Hopi Constitution.
Right. The Hopi okay. have a constitution.
Right.
They're a sovereign nation.
Mm-hmm.
They have
right.
sovereignty, their villages. They've been doing their – what they've been doing for – that, so when they were Anasazi,
right.
this election, the ballots have gone out, the mail-ins are due December 28th, and the mm-hmm. vote is in January.
Mm-hmm.
And this election could mean the end of the Constitution, which should open the world to gambling.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the end of the Hopi civilization as it's been for thousands of years.
Right.
It wouldn't mean the world would end, but it would be the end of the Hopi,
right.
which would just be tragic.
One of those anchors that won't
right.
be there.
Yes, we have still passed, you know, this point,
right.
and they've done their job, but it will then just
we got to hang on.
Yes, it will be like what's happening in Tibet, where
yeah.
the people that are in Tibet now that have been living in these refugee camps since 1959, they're not having fun.
Right.
They're losing their hope, but paradoxically, the Tibetans were supposed to be forced out of China to bring their knowledge and compassion and wisdom and teachings to the world to help save it. Excuse me. It's just so sad that the millions that are still left there have no rights. If they even have a little picture of the Dalai Lama, they're arrested
yeah.
and killed. This is very similar to what happened to the Hopi Nation if this election is allowed to go forward. So I'm here today to just say, please look on the internet and read about this. And if you can, find it in your heart to write the Secretary of Interior, Mr. Salazar, and ask him to try and stop this election. I've been up since 5 this week contacting Senator Daniel Inouye because he is the senator who devised the 1978
mm-hmm.
Native American Religious Freedom
mm-hmm.
Act, and he also has the Office of Indian Affairs.
Right.
So we've asked him to help also.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing that and sharing your story with us here on the program. Kimberly Ruff, contributor to Transforming Through 2012. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Join us every Saturday. Next Saturday, it is Karen Weingart, and on January 1st, it is Greg Braden. Until then, love to all.